Blog Talk Radio.
Edition of Fightin' Words on the Fightin' Words News Network. Fightin' Words is brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation of the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, men and women police and fire services, and the doctors, nurses, and auxiliary people at the hospitals that are trying to keep everybody alive and fight this COVID-19. We appreciate everything you do. Ladies and gentlemen, when you're out in the area, please keep the social distance and please wear your mask. We don't want to see anybody lose their life. Tonight we're starting the show in a sort of a half and half type of show. We want to take a moment to remember a great thriller in Manila, which was 50 years ago on Wednesday, by two of actually they were two Philadelphia residents at the time, and they did a tremendous job, and I'm sure Kyle will talk about that. We also want to announce the at 4:30 this afternoon, we got informed that Marvin Hagler, the great boxer champion, had passed away. So We send our deepest thoughts and regrets out to their family. Well, guys, it's another great night. We have our full team together. We have our California socialite. he got off the yacht this week and is now at the country club. Zito,
oh, wow.
What do you think about that?
Okay.
Life is so hard. I tell you, you know, happy COVID to everybody and Godspeed. You know, it's rough. You know, they're opening parts of California now. Now we were supposed to go wine tasting tonight, but we got distracted with a new Costco membership. So we had to have dinner at the golf course right down by our house. You know, the girl off of she just won, or I don't know if she won or not, but Flawless Bistro, giving her a plug. She's got, you know, she's running the golf course club. She was on that Hell's Kitchen or something. Yeah, I mean, California life's pretty tough. I'm telling you.
Hey, Butch, are we talking to Bob or Prince Harry?
Yeah, I think we're talking to Prince Harry.
Yeah, it's so tough.
One day,
you know what I mean?
And the golf course the next.
Yeah, we gotta take our test next week for the sailboat. But then we're on the 22 footers. If y'all wanna come out for some whale watching, we're up. We need practice hours.
Whale watching. My
grandkids do that at the pool every day when I get in.
Wow.
Whoa.
Whoa.
That's why I can't wear a blue bathing suit to the beach. You know, all Greenpeace gets around me, like, push him back, he's dying. You know?
Okay, let's start it right off, Bob. Ty, did you have anything to say about last week's match with Mr. Adesanya?
You know, it seems like a lot of people on this show are eating crow tonight, but what it comes down to is, you know what, everyone on this show, right, is educated when it comes to this fight game, be it boxing or MMA. We're educated enough to break down fights. And every weekend, we're right. But every weekend, we're always wrong, too. Because even though we can break down a fight tremendously, doesn't always tell you how the fight's going to go. We could tell you the story of the fight, but that's why they get in there, you know, and specifically with the UFC and MMA. MMA is more volatile than boxing, and boxing is extremely volatile. But with the 4-ounce gloves and everything, MMA is more volatile than boxing. And although I was right with my prediction that Jan Blachowicz would beat Adesanya, it was a close fight, and, you know, a couple different things happened a couple of different ways, and Adesanya wins the fight, and everyone else is right, and I'm wrong. It's just the nature of the game. It was a good fight. What happened was what I thought would happen. I thought the big thing and the reason why my prediction turned out to be right, not that I was right, the prediction just turned out to be right. But the reason being is because what I saw was that even though Jan Blachowicz, when he comes forward, he's a bit of a plodder, over the last few fights, he's developed a kind of a patient counter-striking type of game. And he doesn't overextend himself anymore. And he's got quicker hands than people realize. And I knew that the reason why I thought he would beat Israel is because, first and foremost, he was going to hold his own on the feet. He wasn't going to be completely outclassed like everyone thought. And once he could hold his own on his feet, it would implement his wrestling game. I honestly, Israel's a much tougher competitor than I thought. He takes a better shot than I thought. I thought Blachowicz might stop him late. That's what I actually was predicting, Blachowicz to stop him late. But Israel, you know, to his credit, is a much more capable and much more durable fighter, even at 200 pounds, than I thought he was.
Well, you know, when you talk about the wins and losses as far as predictions are concerned, we never have a problem because that's why we bring a tie along.
Ah, exactly.
Whoa.
There you go.
What do you think, Bob?
If Ty's talking about somebody eating crow, I'll eat it. I'm redneck. I'll have some crow pie because, like, I did not give enough credit to that fight last week because I was unprepared, and I apologize to the Fighting Words fans, because that is Israel Adesanya going up 15, 20 pounds. Like, he weighed in at 200 for the 205 division. Now, Jan was running that division as the champion, and Jan did great. And I agree with everything that Ty said, how Jan is developing as a fighter and not putting him out there, himself out there. But Adesanya was calling, like, here's the thing now. Anymore, when you're going after becoming the GOAT, okay, greatest of all time, it took me a while to get into that because I'm a redneck, and when I think of GOAT, I'm thinking stuck on the fence. But anyway, so when you're going after the GOAT, okay, you're not only winning your championship title and then defending it, you're going up or down in another weight class.
Right.
So that's kind of what Adesanya was trying to do. He was going up. He was spouting off at John Jones and everyone else at 205. I'm coming up. Take your stuff. Now,
Darren is a lot.
Yeah, right. And absolutely not taking anything from an amazing athlete. But when you go up 15, 20 pounds, those guys hit harder. Okay. Mm. That's all there is to it. And even so, if you can be a fast heavyweight, or fast light heavyweight and go against, you know, somebody like that. Like, you're not, I mean, he could have, honestly, very well could have outscored, but he was respecting the power of Jan.
Yep.
And so because Jan wasn't someone to be trifled with. He wasn't a pushover. So it gave an option for, John Jones to jump on the Twitter thing or whatever and say, look, Adesanya, you're nothing. You know, you got nothing. There's no reason I should drop weight and come back down for you because you can't even beat Jan. So it created a lot of, smack talk on the internet. And Adesanya, again, phenomenal athlete. Now it breaks his, I think it was 20-0 record.
Yeah.
Now he's 20-1, with a decision loss. But the fact that you can go up, 20 pounds, and he only weighed in at 200, not even 205. So
by fight night, Jan has to be like 220, 225.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
These guys are cutting to get down to 205. Like, that's what scares me anymore. It's like, I'd have to cut to get heavyweight down to your 265. And like back in my day, these guys, like, that's a lot of work. And when they weigh in the next day, they've put on 20 something pounds. So you're getting a guy that is walking around at 200, weighs in, and a guy that cuts 205 and he's back up to 220, 225 the next day. He's bringing the thunder with his punches. So you got to be cautious of that.
Yep.
Good.
The only thing I slightly disagree with is twice in that statement, Bob said he was a redneck. But this is the same guy who was whale watching and sailing and golf club dining.
Hey, I still got a chew in my lip.
Prince Harry.
I still got a chew in my lip. I don't groove too well. I'm like 40 grit sandpaper in any social situation.
Grit.
I'll come in scuffing you up a bit.
40 grit sandpaper. I love it. 40 grit.
I'll fit into a situation. I'm good to
the
be
The thing
needed
about Jan,
situation.
Too, is Jan, and what I said last week, is Israel's a little quicker. He's quicker. But Jan has really good time. And he was really giving Israel trouble with his jab. That's something that Zito and I talked about. Zito really kind of expounded on how he was just giving them trouble with the jab, and that kind of set everything else up.
Yeah, well, technique kills, and that's the thing. Technique is going to be talent, for the most part. I mean, now if you have talent and technique, well, that's dangerous. Not saying Israel doesn't, but one thing, defense is a part of things too, and when you're fighting a guy who's technically skilled and, smart, enough to be technically skilled, you're not going to get away with talent all the time, especially if you guys match up, which is, my next point is, when you move up in weight, I think it's, I would think Israel might have taken a maybe another fight before fighting, you know, the main guy, essentially, outside of John Jones, the main guy. I mean, I would think, but, I mean, that's a daring, you know, challenge, and I commend him with that. But you're moving up into a new weight you haven't fought at, and you're fighting the boogeyman, essentially. That's, you always have to be wary about that.
Okay.
Well, let me blow up what you said there, Z. Like, when you're talking technique, I mean, if you guys see the Peter Yan versus Aljamain Sterling, right? Or how do you say his name? So that's a badass thing. Yeah, Aljamain.
Man, I really enjoy watching Peter Yan fight.
Dude,
he brings that Muay Thai, man.
Basic, and I push these on my classes. Like, stop trying to be so flamboyant.
Yep.
Get the basics down. Basics, yep. Win fights.
Oh, my God. Until he basically hit him with a super illegal knee. So,
well, and if you look at the replay, like, that was his bad. They're coming out of Russia. The Russians are, you know, I go with Frank Stallone on like, the stupidest videos saying the Russians aren't that bright. You know what I mean? So,
wow, there we go. No more Russian fans on the show. No more.
I'll go to battle with you. You're on my team, but, you know, I've seen you driving and stuff. So, but, you
wow,
know.
So Dr. Chris has gotten rid of the Puerto Rican contingent, and now you just hit it with the Russians. There it is.
But, man, what a tough athlete.
Boy.
And, I got nothing but accolades here in a minute. So, but him going in there and getting the wrong advice from his corner. He got two different cornermen.
Yeah.
One cornerman punching only. The other cornerman goes, go ahead and knee. So he did.
Yep.
And when you've got that much adrenaline dumping and you're in the midst of a battle, you're not really clearly thinking. I got DQ'd going against Josh Barnett. Same thing. He took me down. I lit him up, and apparently we couldn't punch from the ground. I looked at my corner. I go, what do I do next? And they're like, hit him. I hit him again. I got DQ'd. Okay, so one of the baddest individuals on the planet. And, you know, I got DQ'd for punching him. So, like, everyone makes those mistakes. Okay? Everyone, me included, and the Russians, I'm on your side. So, yeah. backpedal. You know what I mean? So, if when you're in that moment and someone gives you the wrong advice, the guy was winning on basics into the, I think it was the fourth or fifth round, just simply held his guard up,
and he was
what I call like a turtle.
Away.
Yeah, and just jabbing it out and winning, and then gets the DQ with the knee. But phenomenal basics.
Yep. I love watching that guy fight, man. Love watching him fight.
He'll be back. I mean, they're going to give, you know, Alderman, you know, he played it up really good. And that, to that point, when you take that knee, that illegal knee, he wasn't winning. There was no way he was going to win.
No.
There was no way he was winning. So the drama comes in. Emmy goes to Cuomo or Como, New York governor. I'm sorry. I mean, to Alderman. And then, so he played it up.
And Dana White's they're working on a rematch. So they're working on a rematch.
They will. They'll give Alderman like a shot at somebody else before they do the rematch. But
you think so? You don't think that? Because I know Dana said they were looking at doing an immediate rematch.
No, I think there's money to be made there first. You know what I mean? If Dana can make $5, he's going to make $5. You know, he can throw a title defense against somebody and then do a rematch. Because, like, say Aljamain loses the next, you know, title defense, puts somebody else on top, he goes back to second, they can still get that that rematch going for big dollars and then put the winner of that towards it.
Yeah. Peter Yan will always be looked at until he gets the fight for the chip again. Unless
he's not
somebody
going
actually
further
beats
than Forbes.
He'll be looked at as the uncrowned champion because he was clearly on his way to either stopping Aljamain or winning the fight. Aljamain was out of gas. He had worked himself to empty. You know, he was starting to take a beating.
Yeah.
So.
But again, you know, and he tore up there, you know, and now it's time to pump up the Russian because Islam Makhachev on the same card. Now, he went against Drew Dober, okay? Drew Dober, Colorado favorite, know his coach. I've talked to him a couple times. We're not buds, but I know his coach well. But you've got no chance against Islam. Islam has been the starting gate. Like we're doing a horse racing analogy, but just like they kept Khabib when Conor was on top. They knew Khabib was going to wipe everyone out in that division. Now Islam is Khabib's best friend. He might not have wrestled the bear, but he actually wrestled the bear. You know what I mean? So this guy is going to keep your eye on this guy. Now I'm pulling him up. Okay, backpedal. He's going to destroy this division at 155. Khabib will retire to watch him dominate this division.
Well, you know, he trains at ATT just like Khabib did. And, you know, Daniel Cormier and the guys, they call him, and they have been for a little bit, they call him champ already.
Already?
That's what they think of his potential. Again, you know, but Bob, you know, the one thing about a wrestler is if you can sprawl and brawl, you know, they get in a little trouble. Now, the one thing about Khabib, his pressure, and that's, you know, it's funny because Khabib was axed. You know, when he was about to fight Justin Gaethje, they said, well, what's the difference between American wrestling and Dagestani wrestling? And Khabib didn't say anything about technique. You know what his answer was? His answer was the pressure. He says, we just keep coming. And the one thing about Khabib is his pressure was phenomenal, but he could take a hell of a shot, too. So, you know, Makhachev has been knocked out before, early in his UFC career, you know, some years back. But, you know, so I don't know if he can take the shot like Khabib. And so if he runs against the right sprawling brawler, but, you know, they keep coming. They keep coming. So, you know, he's going to be a tough out. But, again, just like with Khabib's style, you know, that it has that hole where if you can stop the takedown. Now, with Khabib, you know, he walked through fire, and he admitted, you know, Gaethje hit him harder than anyone had ever hit him. And I saw the left hook that Gaethje hit him with, and I was just like, holy shit, how is this dude still standing and still coming? Well, that's Khabib. He's special. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if Makhachev is that level of special, but he does, from what I've been hearing and reading, have that level of game, and that's dangerous.
Well, it almost makes a better division. You know what I mean? When you know, I would much rather, you know, the oohs and the ahs versus just this guy's dominating everyone. No one can compete against him. It's over. You know, and so the fact that Makhachev can work his way up there and be a top 1, 2, 3 and keep competing for it and maybe lose it once or twice, that's a more exciting division. You know,
that's what makes the lightweight division so exciting now with Khabib sitting out. You got all these fights and, you know, It's great. It's really a great time in the UFC lightweight division.
Because you get these divisions that are just dominated by one guy, I mean, or one girl. Let's bring up Nunes, okay?
Oh, God.
Bad female, all right? This woman is on fire, and no one can touch her, okay? And going against bigger and more dominant opponents and just waylaying them, you know? And when someone's dominating a division like that, okay, then it just kind of, it's like, oh, I'm going to tune in again. I'll pay my $60 to watch this 15-minute knockout. You know, Tyson, Rousey, Jones, whatever. But, I mean, she did phenomenal.
Destroyed Megan Anderson. Absolutely. Like, she tooled her on the feet, then tooled her on the ground.
Yeah.
Like,
just a better package.
She showed you she could have won that fight anyway she wanted to win it.
And phenomenal. And good for her. Right in Women's Pride Month and all that stuff. And go women, go Russians, all that stuff.
You might be winning the Russians and the Progressives back. I don't know. We'll see.
Hey.
All
I try. You know, I can't please everyone all the time. But yeah, phenomenal fight card. Then we're going into tonight. Tonight's going to be a good card.
Leon Edwards, Bilal Muhammad. Yeah.
I'm thinking a lot of people on the chopping block tonight. I mean, we can go back to last week. I mean, Dominic Cruz. We used to pay the $60 to watch that guy headline, and he was on the preliminary card. So a lot of these guys, Dana's still sticking to his 60 and out. They're on the chopping block. And
well,
I
you know, Megan
tonight,
Anderson, right after Megan Anderson got destroyed by Nunes, she revealed a couple of days later she's no longer under contract with the UFC. So she went, fought for a title, got murdered, and basically let go as well.
Okay, here's what I found.
Yeah, and so I mean, a lot of people still on this chalking block. There's too many people coming up in the undercards, in the starting gates, if you will, that they know could be contenders. So the fact that, you know, he was on the preliminary card, and he stayed, you know, he won. Dominic Cruz doing a great job commentating. Dominic Cruz got his own little style. Dominic Cruz is a filthy individual, but he is aging. Okay, so at some point, he's got to hang it up, you know. And the only thing keeping somebody in the game, you know, 38 to 40 plus is pride. I've been there. That's all there is, their ego, you know. And then you got, you know, UFC Contender Series. You got that Glory De Palma. She's coming up. She's booked against strawweight Yinyo Frey in Vegas 21. You know, they're grooming a lot of these people to come up through the rankings and just keep being stars. Dana's smart with that, and he's going to groom the best possible fighter, man or female, to stay on top and make that money.
Well, you think about Kamaru Usman came up through tough. He won tough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you're right, you know. And a lot of the guys that you're seeing coming up are coming straight from the Contender Series.
Dana's cracking jokes that, you know, UFC is now ranking up there. You know, COVID had a lot to do with that, and him coming out first. We talked about that in previous episodes. But, you know, he's making jokes that they're, you know, UFC is as popular as basketball and baseball and football now, you know, because the ratings were so low. So, again, you know, hey, I hope at some point that money goes to the fighters, you know. But, you know, for right now, UFC's doing really well. Proud of them.
Dana White has done a tremendous job putting the fighters in the position to earn the money that he's not paying them.
Absolutely.
That's what it comes down to.
Absolutely.
Well said.
Hey, Bob, we talked about Amanda Nunes. That was another tough fight for last week.
Megan Anderson.
Megan Anderson. I mean, how many, like, hey, I'm blocking those hands with my face. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
That was my style back in the day. Like, you'll get tired, bunch in my face. You know, I go in Monday for another nose surgery, like California style. I got to get upgraded. You know what I mean? So, but... They said, yeah,
Bob's
here you
gonna come out looking like a redneck Michael Jackson. Don't do it, Bob.
Dude, I am the next Kardashian. I am working towards my own little sitcom and shit, you know. But, you know, California's doing it to me. But, you know, they sent me to one guy. He's like, oh, that's a big job. I hate thanks. You know.
Oh, wow.
You know, so I got to send you to a plastic surgeon. But anyway, so that's my Monday. But, yeah, out here, I mean – things are great and beautiful, and we're talking about, you know, all the fights of last week. Tonight is going to go with Leon Edwards. I think he's on the line. If he don't pull off a W against Belaini Muhammad, I think he's going to get chopped. You know, Leon has been around a while. We got a light heavyweight co-main event.
Ryan Spann against who's Ryan Spann fighting? Because Ryan Spann got knocked out by Johnny Walker last time he fought. Who is he fighting? Oh, Misha. He's fighting Misha.
But again, they're just trying to push people up the rankings and give a little bit of a show because the 205 division is kind of locked down right now with Jan. Jan just did a great job defending it.
So, you know, they're grooming somebody. You go down further on the card, you got Dan Ige. Okay, so I think he's on the chopping block. If he don't get good against Gavin Tucker, you know, Dan's been around for a while. And these guys, I mean, are literally fighting for their lives.
I think Derek Stewart's on the chopping block tonight, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A good little fight will be in the prelims. I think it might have already happened. The Angela Hall versus Ashley Yoder. I mean, there's three girl fights tonight. They're grooming so many people right now. These top girls on deck and top guys on deck. So they're really trying to position their rankings and get some up-and-comers so people will tune in.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, we're joined by the inimitable and always versatile, and I mean that seriously, Mr. Benny Henderson.
Hey, baby, I want to know if you'll get me a beer. It is working with my wife. It's not
right
working
now
with my wife whatsoever.
Well, we got Benny and Bob on the phone. This is going to get a
All we need is Chris.
How y'all doing this stuff?
Great. We had some sad news to start the show off with Marvin Hagler, and I just checked it again on Ring Magazine. Was pronounced dead this afternoon.
Yeah.
Benny, you've been around Marvin, and you've covered him. Can you give us some background?
This middleweight was a tough, tough cat. I mean, you cannot take nothing from this guy. Look who he beat, and look who he lost to. You know, his last fight with Sugar Leonard, and what he did after the fight. He was just a tremendous guy, a tremendous fighter, a tremendous person. And it's sad. He was 60, he'd be 66 here, next week or a few days now. Just right,
yeah,
you know.
Week.
And he's, you know, when I was like 20, 66 was old. Now that I'm 45, I'm like, let me live to be like 150, you know. So he was still a young guy. And and Butch, you know, you used to hang around Jesus. I think you owe him a quarter, so you understand.
Yeah, I was born next door to him. Dirt wasn't dry yet, but we're still waiting for it.
Right. No, Hagler was just so tremendous. And it is a terrible loss to the boxing world. And the deal is, right now, if you look up TMZ, and there's a lot of things going on about his death, how they found him, what he died from. They found him with just look at TMZ. There's a lot of different stories going on right now about his death, that he has shortness of breath, they found him dead, possible heart attack. Do not quote me on this. And do not, I mean, I'm not saying this, but I talked to somebody, I'm not going to say their name, who's a fighter, who knows the family, who knows things are going on, and he said that Hagler got the shot for the COVID-19 a few days ago, and now he's dead. We're not saying that's what it is, but I'm just telling you what I was told. And he has shortness of breath and all that. You know, I'm just telling you what I was told. So, anyways.
Hey, I'm glad you brought us up to date on that. Hey, see, can you there's a contract floating out there. Sean Porter and Terrence Crawford, supposedly for May. Can you break that fight down for us?
I could break the potential of the fight down. The likelihood, only the heavens know the likelihood of that fight happening, because down here on Earth, it's not happening. It's not happening. It's too much infighting. And Sean Porter, I don't think he would be the first name as far as lucrativity with the camps working together. With that said, if they fought each other, I think it'll be Terrence Crawford's toughest fight. One thing is this. When you fight Sean Porter, you have to you're not going to move around all night long. The dancing and all of that, like Keith Thurman was able to do it because Keith Thurman, that's his style. most guys aren't conditioned like that. And Keith Thurman hits hard enough to gain a level of respect to where Sean Porter wasn't just running, you know, doing Sean Porter normal, the way he goes forward. He couldn't just do that with Keith Thurman, a guy who could pop and move his feet. And it was in quick-handed. With that said, Crawford, he can move his feet and he can pop. You saw him do some outside boxing against Postal. But, you know, Postal's kind of, you know, he's not as pressure-oriented as Sean Porter. So Sean Porter, he's going to be stronger. And Terrence Crawford's going to have to fight on the inside with Sean Porter. What needs to be said, does Terrence Crawford have enough, would Terrence Crawford have enough pop to deter Sean Porter at times? Does he have enough conditioning to fight that level of fight with a guy who's going to do that for 20 rounds? I mean, Sean Porter, he's not the hardest hitting guy, but he's a hard guy. He's going to come hard. You're going to have to put your work in with him. And I mean, Terrence Crawford's not the biggest welterweight. I believe in his power at welterweight. I will say that. I believe in his power at welterweight. I don't know about his durability, especially against an overall grinder. Now, he could footwork Sean Porter a lot of times, but Sean Porter's not a guy, he's not stupid. He's not a guy who's going, he uses his feet, you know, wisely, too, to get inside. He doesn't move his head, but he uses his feet wisely. He has fast enough feet to get inside on most people. So I think, you know, it would be a very, very difficult fight for Terrence Crawford if that 1 out of 100% chance happens.
Mm-hmm. All right. Ty, what do you think?
Well, the only thing I disagree with Zito is Zito said Sean Porter would be Terrence Crawford's toughest fight. Sean Porter is everybody's toughest fight. It's just the way he fights. He's a freight train. And he's quick. He's quick-footed, too. He's a strong guy. He just doesn't have a lot of pop because he doesn't punch with tremendous sharpness or accuracy. It's kind of all over you. It'd be an interesting fight. Let's see if they sign it. Once they sign it, I'll really look to break it down. But kind of like Zito said, here on Earth, there are a lot of other things going on that are preventing us from seeing what would be a very interesting and entertaining fight.
Okay. Danny, what do you think? Hello? Danny, you there? Okay. Bob, there was a record set tonight on the undercard of the Muhammad fight. And that was Matthew Sensenberg with a takeout, a TKO, in 15 seconds.
Yikes.
And I am super excited that someone lost faster than me in the UFC.
There it is.
Okay? I mean, if you can't hold a record. I mean,
thank God for
record.
Small miracles.
A record's a record, right? And give it up for him. You know, participation trophy. I let mine go. He can have it.
There you go.
Yeah, so, amazing knockout. Come in, bing, bang, boom, done. And so on the undercard, too. So, you know, he's going to skyrocket up. You know, three,
yep.
4 points in the rankings, you know, which that'll is great.
That'll go viral. Yep.
And we all love to see that stuff because it keeps us tuning in.
Great. All right. Ty, we got a couple fights tonight. Juan Francisco Estrada.
Yes!
Roman Chocolito.
Mm-hmm.
El Gallo against Chocolatito. I'm a big Juan Francisco Estrada guy. That is my guy. He is my new Marquez. He has been for a few years now. With that being said, he's only lost three times, avenged two of those defeats. The one other loss that he hasn't avenged is against Chocolatito. They fought about 7 years ago. Chocolatito won wide on the scorecards. I watched the fight, thought it was a lot closer than that. But nonetheless, the right guy won. With that being said, if they would have, a few years ago, Estrada would have been a clear favorite. He still is a slight favorite. Chocolatito had just been knocked out by the Thai tank. It's just hard to pronounce any Thai name. He just looked like he kind of had burned out. But over the last couple fights, even though Estrada's 4 years younger, over the last couple fights, he's looked a little. His recent form just hasn't been as solid as Chocolatito's. You know what I mean? Now, he's fought a higher level of competition. But both guys have been through a lot of wars. Estrada's 30, Chocolatito's 34. But these are, you know, probably the two best little guys in the last 10, 15, 20 years. Chocolatito is already a Hall of Famer, potentially an all-time great. Juan Francisco Estrada is probably already a Hall of Famer, could definitely cement his status with the win tonight. It's a huge fight, guaranteed action fight, because their styles mesh that way. If I had to predict the winner, though I love both guys, I love Estrada more, want Estrada to win, I would have to say I think Chocolatito is going to win. All things being equal, if both men have the same level of wear and tear on them, all things being equal, Chocolatito, because of his style, he's a technical, busy, busy fighter. He will. That style, if all things being equal, nobody goes down, that style tends to win rounds. And because Estrada likes to box more from range and counterpunch a little bit more, he, you know, against, kind of like what happened the first time, Chocolatito outworked him. You know, there were points in a fight where you thought Chocolatito might grind him down, but he would come back and throw his combinations and sting Chocolatito and get him off of him. But ultimately, Chocolatito outworked him. So that's what I'm thinking might happen tonight. But it's a tremendous fight. That's the one I'm tuning in for.
Yeah, good. What do you think, Z?
I agree with Ty to an extent. But it's something, it's something in what he said. And it's, with Chocolatito, he's, actually, with Wansisco, he's fought, with Estrada, he's recently been fighting a higher level of competition. Not to say yet, but just recently. And he's, you know, him, I mean, they both, I mean, to be honest, it kind of comes down to who is a little more shot. Not calling these guys shot, but who is a little more
shot. Has more in the tank. Who just has a little more in the tank. That's exactly what I think it comes down to Zig.
Exactly. And I think just that level, you know, sometimes it's fighting that higher level of competition. You know, that might, you know, after the recent, more recently, seeing better guys recently, that you know what I mean, always. I always just thought that both, you know, those, there, Chocolatito to me has been fighting over his weight for a minute.
Yeah, both of them.
Both of them, really. But I just think Chocolatito, he's a small statured guy.
Yeah, Francisco, Estrada's a little bigger.
Exactly. He's a little big, and I always thought Chocolatito was fighting over his weight. And how long can you fight that style? I mean, that style, to me, I'm surprised that he's doing this at 34. Because at that weight, at 34, just because, I mean, you lose reflexes, reactions, speed. I mean, you lose all of that. And, you know, you lose it sooner when you're smaller, to be honest, because the guys are just fast. They're always going to be fast. And just to fight that busy fight and you lose your reflex, losing your defensive reactions, you're going to get hit more. You're going to, have trouble getting there to a longer guy just a little more. I just think it's going to be difficult for Chocolatito.
Mm-hmm. And, the okay. funny thing is again, Estrada is a younger guy at 30. But both of these guys have had between high 40s and 50 fights. You know what I mean? High 40s and in the 50 fights. And they both had wars. And the fact of the matter is the greats in most fighters, title-level fighters who have tough fights, they tend to drop off at that weight a lot younger than the guys that are a little bigger, man. So with both of these guys, And you know what? It's not just going against each other. If they were fighting the Thai tank, it'd be the same thing because these guys are up around 30, a little over 30, and they're small guys with this tremendous wear and tear. If they're fighting guys that they're just better than, that's one thing. But when they're fighting each other, it really comes down to who kind of has more right now at this point in their career. Because they're all, to a certain extent, they all have their equal level of attributes that make them, the tremendous fighters they are and have made them the great fighters of the lighter weight divisions over the last 10 years or so. But the fact of the matter is at any given night, one of these guys could fall off a cliff. The thing is they thought it happened with Chocolatito when he got knocked out by Sorigan, the Thai tank. But, again, he came back. He had a tune-up fight. It looked pretty good. Then he fought Kai Yafai and took the title from him. Now, I never thought much of Kai Yafai. However, Kai Yafai was a young, fresh guy. And Chocolatito destroyed him. I wasn't sure about that. So that showed me he still has something left. Now, Francisco Estrada is a whole different animal than the Kai Yafai. But the fact of the matter is he's not a young, fresh guy. So
this is a 50-50 fight. It's just one I wouldn't even begin to – I think Chocolatito could win, but just like Zito said, it depends what's going on with the tank. We've got to get it.
Hey, Bob, how about we got a big fight tonight with Bilal Muhammad and Leon Edwards. What's your thoughts on that one?
I'm still upset that Ty thinks all my California adventures are getting up, ruining my redneck status.
You know what? They are de-redneckicizing you.
I can't handle that.
You can't handle that.
It was my roots. You know what I mean? Hey, Ty, you know how you circumcise a redneck? You kick a sister in the mouth.
That?
All right?
So now we've lost the redneck too. Boy, oh boy. There it is.
I'm betting 1,000 tonight, okay?
Wow.
Big fight. Wow.
You have truly inherited the Dr. Chrisism. That's a wrap.
All right, so while I'm on that sailboat, I'm still spitting chew spit and making racing stripes, all right? That's why I can't get front.
Oh, shoot.
They make me go in the back with the tiller and feed the fish, right? Because they can't be up front.
You're like, I will not give in. I will not give in, but it's so beautiful out here. My redneck is becoming tan, and I'm cool with it.
I wear my badge with pride, sir. Big fight tonight. Leon Edwards on the chopping block. If he don't perform, I think he's the next one gone. That's the sad truth of it all right now is Dana's still picking away at all the fighters and trying to clean house. So Leon's a great fighter. Don't get me wrong. He's shown his age. He's been in there a while. So he's really got to put on the show. Everyone tonight, I say we still got 4 months left of seeing named fighters getting on the chopping block, and that's the sad part. Because if these guys aren't winning like Dominic Cruz did last week and a couple weeks ago, who was it that, went through?
Overeem and Dos Santos.
Yeah, so if you're not winning, you're getting cut. And you guys used to be the whole reason we tune in for a fight of the night,
yeah.
you know. So
yeah.
it's sad. I get
yeah.
it. I empathize with the older crowd and getting washed out until they make an over 40 league. But until that, like, they're making room. That's all they're doing.
But
so a big
you
fight
know what?
Tonight.
Like I said, I think it's good for the sport, though, right? Because then you get talent or names at least that are familiar to people fighting other places. In Bellator, they signed Yoel Romero against Anthony Rumble Johnson. So,
yeah.
you know what I mean? Like, again, now at this point in these guys' careers, they're still dangerous fighters, but they're not. They're guys who are just outside of the title type of picture. They're, you know, that's where they're at the point in their careers. But who doesn't want to see that fight? You know what I mean? So,
right.
Yeah, so I think it really helps the sport because it, you know, these guys can get paid other places. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, and you make room for these up-and-comers. Look what it does for the UFC. Try Congress. I mean, that would be amazing.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah. Get rid of the old talent and bring in some of the new. I'm just saying.
So
I'm
now we've lost the. So DC is gone. We've lost the DC contingent. But we didn't want them anyway. We didn't want them anyway. So.
Hey Zito, what do you think about Jessica McCaskill's fight tonight with Cecilia Burnhouse?
I'm not familiar with Burnhouse, but McCaskill's she's pretty good. She's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Cecilia Brakehouse was universally regarded as the number one. She was the ring number one pound for pound women's champ. She was undefeated. She's called the first lady of boxing. And she fought McCaskill. Of course, she was expected to beat her. And she lost with, you know, a contentious decision. It could have gone either way. It wasn't a robbery, but she lost. And so it's the rematch tonight. It's the rematch tonight where, again, the first lady of boxing is looking to right the ship. She's 38 now, I believe. But I always liked her because I always thought she was kind of cute. And I don't typically say that about most female boxers, unfortunately. Damn, I'm getting like Bob on the show. I'm in foolishness. I talked myself into foolishness. I didn't mean to say that. But I pay attention, right, and I read about it. And so, again, she was widely expected, you know, to beat Jessica McCaskill, supposed to be just another defense. McCaskill came in, upset the apple cart, and so tonight's the rematch.
Mm-hmm. All right, and we also tonight have Benavides and Ellis fight.
I like watching Benavides fight, man.
But I do too. This is 160 Benavidez too, and that's
168.
Like.
Yeah, and again, guess what?
What?
He came in on weight. Remember,
he's
the guy who lost. He's lost his title twice. Once because he didn't make weight, and the other time because he did like the cocaine. So, that's his problem.
UFC Benavidez got his ass beat last week. Just throw that in there.
Yeah,
Benavidez.
Yeah, against Askar Askarov.
Yeah. He got smoked.
Hey, Bob, what's the big deal with Gloria DePaul and Dana? Does he just not like her, or what's the story?
Okay, so we're talking like an Instagram girl. You know, she kind of made – she's like – who's that Jake guy that I can't stand? You know, she's coming over from one of those. Yeah, can't stand that. But anyway, so she did good going through the show. She finally got, you know, she went through the UFC Contender Series, did really well. She finally got booked against a strawweight fight with Jin Yufrei for UFC Vegas 21. She keeps trying to impress Dana. She wants to get on the card. She wants to make a showing for herself. She wants to be the new up-and-comer. But, again, it's one of those, power to her. I hope she does well.
But, you know, it's one of those puppy dog stories, like Jake Paul. Like, Dana White's about ready to throw $1 million against Ben Askren versus Jake Paul. You know, he knows this Jake Paul's guy is going to get beat up. And you get all these Instagram, what are they called, the trendsetters or what the shit? Like, I don't even know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the people are kind of doing crossovers, you know. And they're doing crossovers and trying to make themselves, you know, you get enough likes and enough people following you, and then you jump into a professional sport. You know, hey, great for you. You know, I don't know. I mean, I'm
I love when you do. I love when you do your social influencer rants. I love them.
The only thing is, you know what?
The funny thing is, I'm a huge Ben Askren fan. Yeah. Like, I love the Ben Askren. I really was hoping he actually could win the title in the UFC. I always thought it was funny that his striking sucked and he was really straight wrestler, but that he trolled everybody. I always got his sense of humor, so I always dug him. With that being said, I'm kind of scared that he might get his ass beat, man.
Dude,
like,
and if that happens, I'm gonna cry. That can't happen.
I'm straight up favoring Jake Paul to win, man, because this kid, the one thing about him is even though he is what he is, he's been kind of taking boxing seriously. And even though Ben's a fighter, Ben has never taken the boxing part seriously.
My point is, he hasn't. And that's the thing, like Ben Askren, you know, a year and a half ago when he goes against Jorge Masvidal and he gets the knee to the face, like Ben Askren for it. All right, so because he was talking a lot of smack.
Yeah.
So he wasn't much different than this Jake Paul character. But if you can't beat this dude, just quit. You know, just stay being in your onesie and do some wrestling, okay? Because you just stop it. Yeah, I mean, I would love to see Amanda Nunes walk through this Jake Paul guy and this new chick and just dominate. You know, it's I don't know what it is. So you guys might feel different. So when Conor did the crossover against Floyd, okay, and so everyone's like, oh, stay out of boxing. You know what I mean? Stay in your lane.
Mm-hmm.
But he at least stayed in there for a while and did a fair good job. But then you've got these social influencers. I don't know what the shit they are. Okay, I don't know how you do that. I want to get paid money for posting dumb shit on YouTube. So
yeah,
for
real.
Right? So how do you get to do that? And then you get to call out some professional athletes. Why don't you call LeBron James to a one-on-one basketball tournament? You know what I mean? What are you doing right now? But yes, I will admit Jake Paul is taking his training seriously. I just want him hurt. I
absolutely want Ben Askren to beat his ass, but I just think there's a reason why he chose Ben Askren. You know what I mean?
He didn't say,
you know what, the hell with Ben Askren. Give me Robbie Lawler. He didn't say that. No, he didn't.
Like,
I'm going to say this, though. Ben, I mean, Jake Paul, he's taking his training and sparring serious. The competition, he's not taking serious to me. This is a joke. So, I mean, as far as that goes, I'm going to keep harping to the point. Is Tiger Woods going to train 3 months in tennis and play Serena Williams? I don't care gender or anything. He's not going to be there training 3 months in tennis.
Ben Askren has his
advantage in the fact that he's taking contact. He's been punched by guys who punch with 4 ounce gloves. And he's always had a good tank. Now, again, whether people recognize it or not, boxing is a totally different sport. You get tired a little differently, as Conor found out. You know what I mean? But I love the guy, man, and I just can't put my faith in him in just a boxing match, because even when he was training striking, he was mixing in stuff. You know what I mean? I saw footage of him sparring in his prime, and I was just like, what the absolute hell is he doing? Like, this is crazy. He's got a lot of bad habits he would have to kind of unlearn. Like, I don't know, man.
I wish
Counter,
I really
he has a lot of
win.
Bad habits to striking, period. The kicks, the knees,
yeah.
The elbows, the, and you're talking about
your
a total striking art.
It's like when you first start training wrestlers, you know, versus boxers, you know, that don't have any, or anybody that doesn't have any bad habits. It's like wrestlers seem to have really sensitive nipples and they protect them really well. Like your hands are way down there. Like, what are you protecting right now?
He took that areola again.
Yeah, are you back to the areola shit? Like, I mean, come on, what are you protecting right now? Keep your hands
up. I think we've all used that analogy, too.
You can punch me in the face, but you can't punch me in the face.
I'm not going to punch you in your areola. I don't even want to punch your areola. Lighten up.
Yeah, why are your hands there?
What are you doing with that? But, you know, Jake Paul and this and that, like, you know, and the thing is, I'd hate to see him win, but he has a chance, you know. But, again, I'll give him credit. Like, if I'm going to break that fourth wall or fifth wall, yeah, whatever it is, if I'm going to go from MMA to kickboxing, I'm not going to challenge Tyson first. I'll go for a Butterbean. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I'll go after Butterbean.
Something like that, you know. So he's doing it right. He's
hey, Bob, you know who you'd go after? You'd go after Jake Paul.
Dude, I want that kid so bad. I'd raw dog him. I'd prison hug that fucker.
I would have more respect if Jake Paul. I would have more respect if he challenged boxers. If he literally challenged the thing he's doing. He's taking people from other areas and bringing them to his arena. Why doesn't he go challenge, go fight Ben Askren in a boxing slash? You know, let him use legs.
He's challenging Tiger Woods to badminton. Like, what are you doing right now?
Yeah,
that's not a sport.
You know what? The reason why he's doing it is kind of like Floyd Mayweather is going to fight his brothers because they can, because for whatever reason, these people are interested in these kids, man. I don't get it. But for whatever reason, cats will actually pay to see this kid fight whomever. Like the first time he fought, he just fought another YouTube dude. Like, I don't get it.
I got a nephew that people will subscribe to watch him play a video game. That's some lonely ass shit right there. Okay.
Yeah.
You need a hobby, kiddo.
Guys, we're just at the end of power.
Like, I don't understand this next gen, bud. I just don't get it.
Yeah.
I'm so lame. I'm gonna watch you play something you don't have to leave your house for. You know?
Yeah, you put your joystick down and watch them.
Yeah.
Well, you're not playing. You're watching them play a game. You have. Yeah. I never quite got that either. Yeah. That's some lonely ass shit.
We are at the end of our hour, and I've tried to extend it, but we can't extend somebody else's on there. But I want to thank you, Bob, for everything.
Yeah, thank you, Bob.
You certainly have grown in your abilities, and I'm sure Dr. Chris is up there laughing his ass off, saying, I got him.
Oh, my God. He corrupted Bob.
Best compliment ever.
There you go.
Okay, Z, you want to lead us out?
Absolutely. Another wonderful show. I want to thank Bob, you, Butch, Benny, and Ty. I want to thank all of my Fighting Words family. These shows are definitely in memory of Bob, Coach Mel, and Dr. Chris. And if anyone wants to hear any Fighting Words, please do call.
Ty?
Great show. Always a pleasure to be on with all you gentlemen. Bob is their co-pilot. Coach Mel's watching over us. Dr. Chris keeps us laughing. Prayers definitely has a boxing show, a combat show, go out to one of the Hagler and his family. Everyone have a good week.
Yeah, and I just I don't want to end this horrible, but I just got a text that we lost another brother tonight. Jesse Madsen, a senior patrol officer with the Tampa PD was responding to a drunken driver going the wrong way on 275. He used his patrol car to try and save some people, and he took the blunt of the accident and he succumbed at 7:10 tonight. So Jesse's a former Marine, a good friend. I just can't say enough about him. Three months ago, there was a riot in the north part of Tampa, and one of the deputy sheriffs was taken down by a big piece of concrete, and they couldn't get to him. But Jesse and another officer, who were in plain clothes, waded through the crowds, got a hold of the guy, took him, put him in his car, and drove him to the hospital. He was paralyzed at that point, but if he hadn't moved that officer, the guy probably would have died. So to Elaine, Mark, Tony, we send out our deepest sympathies, and I'll see you tomorrow. I'll be up. Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces and the men with police and fire services. And when you're out there and you see somebody in uniform, please make sure that you let them know that they're there. These are very tough times for everybody in uniform. And please practice your social distancing, and please wear your mask. We don't want to lose any more listeners. When you're out there, just think of two things: that may the roads rise up to meet you, may the winds be always at your back, may the rains fall softly on your fields, and the sun shine lightly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the palm of His hands. Good night, God bless, and have a great week, everybody.
Shem alek ma yilama, shem ahezahir ma, son ashen evorat fet, hakuig again ma yilama.
1999. County dispatched to 1999. All units be advised, 1999 has responded to his last emergency. May God rest his soul.
Night, Bob. We love you and we miss you.